Taking good care of their teeth is something all bears do. That's why sis and brother brush and go to the dentist too.
Hello and welcome to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and today we are discussing 1981's The Berenstain Bears Visit the Dentist. And I have with me today Dr. Larry Gravitz. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Fine.
So you are here because you have experience as a dentist.
Correct. I was a dentist for 30 years, private practice in Long Island, New York. Graduated dental school. I was a dentist in the Army. And I have treated a lot of children. I was a solo practitioner. I had an office that was formerly a garage, and so home office, so I was always available. And it made me easy to handle emergencies.
And you had that practice for how long?
About 30 years.
About 30 years. And so, like you said, you probably saw a lot of families.
Correct.
A lot of kids.
Yes.
And over those 30 years, how did dentistry change, not just in practice, but just sort of people's approach, philosophically to dentistry?
Okay. One big change was the advent of dental insurance, which changed in the way how often people could come, what was covered. Those that did not have insurance before and then received it found it financially helpful. Another big change is more and more geared towards prevention. Fluoride treatments, Pitt and Fisher sealants, emphasis on brushing, flossing, things of that nature.
So dentistry stopped being reactive, completely reactive, and more preventative?
Absolutely, yes. During that time, we saw fewer and fewer extractions. When I first started, I did some full dentures, a lot of bridges. Later on, as time progressed, fewer and fewer dental catastrophes, more prevention, emphasis on periodontal care of the gums. For children, there was more orthodonture, alignment, straightening of teeth, getting a better bite, making it easier for them to chew.
And what was it like having kids in the office?
What you mean? Treating children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I loved it. We had an area in the waiting room with games and toys for them. There were times I had school groups come and gave them little demos, right up and down in the chair, gave them toothbrushes, showed them how to brush. We spoke about foods that were helpful in preventing decay and those which promoted tooth decay.
Did kids tend to be afraid of coming to the dentist?
Occasionally, depending on their parents. If a threat was, be good or I'll take you to the dentist, that was not a good way to start a relationship. What we emphasize and try to teach parents is have their first visit come before there was a problem, so that they're used to the whole routine. If there was a problem and they needed to come, it was not a major surprise and fear. They knew pretty much the routine. And also to check with the parent about fluoride, brushing, proper nutrition, and things of that nature.
So speaking of preparing your children for the dentist, in the Berenstain Bears Visit the Dentist, we sort of get a look behind the scenes at what the mama and papa bear do to prepare their kids for the dentist. Why don't you walk us through the book a little bit and tell us kind of what it's about?
Okay. In the very beginning of the book, Sister Bear has a loose tooth.
And it's her first.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And it is not a tragedy. It's part of life. It is not what we would consider a dental emergency. Of course, Brother Bear plays Big Brother to the hilt and scaring her. The scene where the dentist is going to yank the tooth out.
Now, this is a threat. This is something that I noticed reading a lot of children's books that deal with the dentist. I can think of three off the top of my head that deal with going to the dentist because you have a loose tooth, and then the dentist pulling the loose tooth. Is this something that dentists used to do?
Okay, first of all, only if necessary, and usually it's not. Okay, it could be uncomfortable chewing. The speech may be a little blurred. If a dentist would think of removing a tooth, first of all, he would want to take an x-ray. There are times where it is not replaced by a permanent tooth because it was never formed or malformed, and that's a baby tooth that you would want to keep as long as possible. If they do have to remove a tooth, a reason would be it is severely decayed, it is causing a toothache, it could spread infection to another tooth. If teeth are very crowded and we need room for a permanent tooth to come in and a baby tooth is persisting too long and could guide the newly erupted tooth in a path that's not where you want it to be, that would be a reason to remove.
But this is, but in this plot of this book, she wakes up. This is the first day of a loose tooth. So Right. Chances are pretty good there's nothing going on with it so far.
Absolutely. A normal part of growing up.
All right. So they get the, Brother Bear is having a dentist appointment this day.
Correct.
And so Sister's going to have to go with him to the dentist.
Right. Because she can't go himself. He needs his mother. And wherever mother goes, she takes Sister.
So we get introduced to Dr. Bearson.
Okay, and we see Brother Bear climbing onto his dental chair. Now, you mentioned the book was written in 1981, but the equipment, the chair itself, the dental setup is maybe from the 1950s.
Oh, really?
If not before.
So Dr. Bearson, who doesn't look to be an older bear, he probably looks to be about in his, I don't know, 30s, maybe his 40s. This is obviously, it looks like it's a home practice. Like, this seems to be inside his house, as most of the bears seem to be working from outside of small businesses. So maybe he inherited this setup?
Several things jumped out of me, which the average person would not notice. The chair is no longer used. Now you have more like cushion spaceship type, the lean back. The equipment with a pulley hasn't been used in over 50 years. But a really significant change is today your dentist probably wears a mask, often goggles, and almost definitely rubber gloves or latex, or if they're allergic to latex, another kind of glove for infection control.
Mm-hmm. So even if you had walked into this same dentist office in 1981, you would have been struck by how out of date things seemed.
Yes. At that point in time, all the things I mentioned would have been long gone.
Is there any reason a dentist would have still been using that kind of setup?
Allergic to change.
So I think we can read a little bit into Dr. Bearson's personality here. He's the only dentist in town. Hasn't updated his equipment in a while. Probably doesn't read all the latest medical journals.
Okay, no assistant, no hygienist.
Right, right. They just walk right in and they're there. So what does he do with Brother?
He puts instruments in the mouth and then he fills a cavity. We don't know the diagnosis, and But what struck also is he mixes something and talks about tamping it in. So obviously it's not a silver amalgam filling. It's not a composite, which at that point in time were often used. Those are the white fillings that harden, that look like the tooth. I would say he used a temporary filling, the zinc oxide and eugenol, which would possibly been a case if the tooth was going to come out very short time, if it was a baby tooth that maybe started to wiggle or would soon, and it could be a cost-saving factor. But again, that's not typical treatment.
So yeah, so here we go. So he washes off brother's tooth.
With water, with air.
And just fills it right there.
Yeah, he drilled a little bit, it's sad.
And sister is still nervous with her loose tooth.
I'm glad it's not me, thought sister, still wiggling.
And does he give a brother any kind of pain medication, or?
Not noted.
Last time I got a tooth filled, which was probably his last year, he didn't use any kind of painkiller. So it must have been shallow, like pretty shallow.
Okay, sometimes for children, nitrous oxide is used. It relaxes them. If it's shallow and small, it's not necessary. Sometimes you could use a topical, which is just an ointment, which works well with children. Occasionally, it has to be numbed. Xyloclocaine, a little injection.
Not brother.
No.
He just gets it filled and hops on down. Yeah, so sister gets up there, and the dentist takes a look at that loose tooth and...
Okay, but sister just doesn't go up there. Bravely, sister climbed up into the cub's seat. Now, bravely implies that there was something major to be overcome.
Yeah.
Said the dentist, looking at the tooth. Oh, said sister, waiting for him to reach for those big yankers. But while she waited, Dr. Bearson gripped the tooth with a piece of gauze, gave a tug, and out it came.
So he pulls the tooth out, like, just with his fingers. He just reaches in, a loose tooth that's been loose literally half a day, and just pulls. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no medical reason for the tooth to have to come out. It's probably way too early. Because a tooth, I mean, it's not just loose, disconnected, and then it's, there's a process. There's, like, a medical process as the tooth, like...
Okay, a baby tooth, technically it's called deciduous, as leaves, it comes out. When it's first formed, it has a root on it, which stabilizes it, so in the mouth, so you can chew on it. Over time, the root absorbs, gets shorter and shorter and shorter. When a tooth comes out, usually you see just the crown, no evidence of a root. And that makes it easy for it to fall out its own.
There's probably no reason for Dr. Bearson to have pulled out that tooth. I guess that's when I was a kid and I read this book, and then as I had children and read this book to them, it always struck me as a very non-comforting thing to present to a child. That, like, yeah, if you have a loose tooth, the dentist is probably going to yank it out. Like, it would seem to me more realistic to have the dentist go, oh, no, it's fine, it'll probably fall out in a week or so. And
okay, unless you want to use the concept to a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
To a dental surgeon or a dentist.
Well, which brings me to the point that Dr. Bearson seems a little stuck in his ways. Old equipment, no hygienist, wants to do everything himself.
No infection control.
Right.
I mean, that's really major.
Yeah, this is, like I said, this is still 81. Like, it's not, this isn't like 1921.
Right. Now, a really interesting thing, again, which struck me having practiced dentistry is, sister looked at the tooth. It was very tiny. Dr. Bearson gave it to her to keep. Looking at the diagram in the book, it does look like a human baby tooth, real tiny. But this whole thing is about bears. I've never extracted bear teeth, but my perception would be a bear, even a young bear, would have a tooth that's larger than the tiny
one depicted. That's true, because they definitely have bear claws.
Yes.
So you would think that their teeth would probably also follow suit.
Well, if you want to be consistent.
Yeah. And then she doesn't get candy. She gets a balloon. Thank you, Dr. Bearson, for not giving candy to the children.
Since we're approaching Halloween trick-or-treat time, and I used to get a lot of trick-or-treaters, I always gave out toothbrushes. And after a while, I didn't get as many trick-or-treaters as I couldn't figure it out. Because I thought it was unethical that it would be promoting...
Right. I can see that. A little conflict of interest there.
Exactly.
So the last page, it's Tooth Fairy Morning, or the last couple of pages.
Now, an interesting from a dental perspective, I had a young patient who came in for something similar, a basic checkup, and wanted me to extract his tooth. I said, does it hurt? No. Is it wiggly? No. Then why do you want me to extract it? Because if you extract it, then I can put it under my pillow and I get a visit from the tooth fairy. If you don't do anything, no tooth fairy. I mean, there's a lot of tooth fairy stories.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, is it the ADA? The American Dental, does the ADA have an official stance on the tooth fairy?
Okay, that's interesting. There's a book published, How This Began, and what the average tooth fairy pays.
Mm-hmm.
In one of my dental meetings, a discussion about this, one dentist had a great concept that many of the dentists heard and then thought it was so good they started following it. It was that the tooth fairy should have a sliding scale of payment. That a tooth that was well cared for, well brushed, decay-free, received top dollar. If it was stained, if it was not well brushed, if it was decay, it was not worth as much to the tooth fairy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to work on an incentive type of theory, this is something that we could, spread the word.
Right. Let's work on that. Sliding scale for tooth fairies. I like that idea. I actually do like that idea. So in summary...
Okay, I get 10%.
Okay. So, okay. In summary of the book, I usually like to ask my guests, would you recommend this book for its intended purpose, to introduce children to the idea of going to the dentist? Do you think it's a good book for that purpose, or not so good a book for that purpose?
There are better. Yeah, there is some literature put out by the American Dental Society, which the dentists can purchase and keep in their waiting room. And should have a separate child area for things appropriate for them to look at, and as well as information for parents. They definitely should have a more modern, updated version to show dentists who practice infection control with modern equipment and emphasize preventive practice of things they could do, how to brush. Talk about fluoride. It depends on your area. Fluoride in toothpaste, fluoride in vitamins, things of that nature.
Yeah, it doesn't even have, in the Berenstain Bears Go to the Doctor, there was at least a comedy subplot featuring Papa, like, denying his own symptoms. This doesn't even have that. There's not a whole lot going on in the book except just a basic visit to the dentist. So I can't even personally recommend it just from a story perspective, because not a whole lot happens. The bears go to the dentist and then they leave the dentist. As far as the art goes, it's not even one of my favorite looking Berenstain Bear books. I find the backgrounds to be a little bland. I don't find Dr. Bearson to be as interesting a new character. Dr. Grizzly from Berenstain Bears Go to the Doctor, I really like her as a character. She's got a lot of personality. She's gruff, but she's no nonsense, but she's friendly. Dr. Bearson just doesn't seem to have much going on. And that strangely outdated room. Yeah, we don't even get to see his waiting room or anything. It's just one room. Like, you wait and there he is. Just his place just doesn't seem that friendly. It's not a friendly book. Like, Sister seems scared most of the time.
Yeah, she's quivering on a mother's lap.
Yeah, and there's the mother's not doing or saying much. Right. I don't know. To me, I would give it a pass as far as for education. It definitely has its place in Berenstain Bear's history, but it's not one of my favorite Berenstain Bear books. And it never gets requested in my house. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The Berenstain Bears Go to the Doctor does get requested, but not this one. So yeah, so there it is. The Berenstain Bears Visit the Dentist. Well, Larry, Dr. Gravitz, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
It was great to talk to you. It was great to talk to you about dentistry. You answered questions that I've had about this book for years, about the loose tooth, about pulling the tooth, about Dr. Bearson's setup. It makes a lot more sense now. Thanks for putting it into a historical perspective.
Glad to answer your questions and give you insight from a dental point of view.
That's it for this episode. I'm Phil Gonzalez, and don't forget that you can rate and review us on iTunes. You can download us on the Stitcher app. You can go to our blog, berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com, and listen to us there. You can find us on Facebook at Deep in Bear Country. You can find us on Twitter at BeStainBearcast. So once again, I'm Phil Gonzalez, and this is Deep in Bear Country.